And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, 100 Children, is based on the book of the same name by Lena Kukler Silverman. It was adapted for radio by Virginia Mazur and is one program in this Eternal Light series dedicated to the ideals which govern the relationships between man and man.
I have compromised with truth in telling my story only to the extent that the names of the children and most of the other individuals are fictional. Beyond that, this is what happened to one Jewish woman in Poland at the time of the Second World War. The year is 1943. Fresh in my memory are 50,000 human beings killed in the Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto. I am in hiding in the country in one of Poland's great estates where I work as a governess. All through that howling Polish winter, I kept having the same dream. In the dream, I'm looking through the window of my father's house in my old village. It is always Friday evening in the dream. The faces of my family are scrubbed and shining. My father rises with his wine cup.
Baruch.
The words carry them away, far away from this cramped and meager village to some higher place. Then suddenly the dream changes. My parents' faces are old and haggard. When I try to take my place at the table, they stare at me with vacant, lifeless eyes. I put out my arms to touch my little sister. She draws away from me in fright and begins to suck her thumb. Look at me, I try to say. I am Lena, your daughter. Look at me. Look at me. But no words come. And I open my mouth to speak, but only a wild and screaming gibberish comes out.
Lena! Lena! What's wrong? Lena, answer me. Open the door.
I'm coming, madame.
Lena, what's the matter? Why were you screaming?
It is nothing. I had dreams, that's all.
You gave me such a fright. Why do you keep having these dreams? What are you afraid of?
I don't know. The war, I suppose.
Oh, I've told you over and over they're not going to bother us here. They've already stripped the farm of everything they want. What more can they do, the blockheads?
I'm sorry.
It's enough to have the estate and my grandchildren on my shoulders. I don't need a governess with nightmares.
I'm very sorry.
Well, then go back to sleep.
First, I'll look at the children. Gaga likes to kick her covers off.
Oh, very well. I'll see you at breakfast.
Madame?
What is it now?
In the dream. Did I speak? What did I say?
How should I know what you said? It was your dream.
I am safe, I keep telling myself. I am safe. Nothing can harm me here in the country. I am safe like an animal hidden in a burrow. I go to my bureau and take out my papers to comfort myself. My papers describe me as Lena Relyich, a licensed schoolteacher of the Catholic faith. I go to the mirror and stare at myself. My hair is dyed yellow. Hunger has hollowed my cheeks. Even my family would not know me. There is no more Lena Kuchler. Lena Kuchler, you do not exist. Spring comes. Mrs. Buchenwald, Tobinka, burn steadily. But here in the country, the black ice breaks in the river. The geese honk overhead. There is life in every cow, every field mouse. Something stirs inside me, too. I walk outside in the twilight. Paul, Madame's oldest son, walks beside me.
Listen, Lena. You can hear the earth throbbing. Do you hear it?
Yes, I hear. But I must go inside. The little girls need me.
Oh, it's always the same excuse.
It's my life.
I could give you a much nicer life.
Oh, please.
Why do you fight your feelings?
I have to go inside.
No, wait. Look, you must listen to me. I love you, Lena.
No, you mustn't. I mustn't either. Let me go.
Lena, wait. Look, why, for God's sake, can't we love each other? Why? Tell me why.
Why? Why? Why must I deny myself happiness here in the country with Paul? I could be happy. Safe forever. Nobody would ever know. The house is dark. I go outside again to breathe the soft spring air. In the shadow of the barn, I see someone crouching. A man. I stop dead in my tracks, afraid. An old man with a long beard and long side locks. Rabid! Rabid!
Who are you?
No, don't be afraid. I am a Jew, too.
No, you are no Jew.
Yes, I swear it. How did you get here?
I escaped from a transport to Treblinka.
Yes, it was the same with me. They shot my father before my eyes. My little sister got away. They put us in a freight car, and the women screamed and tore their clothing, and the men prayed.
Say no more.
No, I have to tell somebody. Somewhere along the way, the freight car stopped, and the doors opened. Some of us escaped, not many, but I was one. Why me, Rabid? Why me?
Water. Bring me water. I'm dying.
I won't let you die. I race back to the house for food and water, a sense of power surging in me. Let the dog bark. Let him wake the household. Let them find me with the old man. I am not afraid anymore. I am not afraid.
Water. Give me water.
First a little wine. It will give you strength. Here, let me hold the jug for you to drink.
Wait. Burkata adushim elokenu melek haolam bore pri hakofen.
Now, drink. Drink, repeat.
Good. Good.
A little more.
No more.
Here is chicken, bread, but you must eat it quickly. You must go before it's light.
Go? Oh, where is there to go?
There is a peasant family near here. They will hide you if you give them money, I think.
Oh, who has money?
I have. Look.
Oh, so much.
All my savings.
No, daughter. Keep the money. I have no more strength. Let me die.
No, Rabid, sit up. Take some more wine. Eat. I am not going to let you die. From that moment on, I never doubt again who I am. I look into the mirror and I see Lena Relyich, the imposter. But I know that beneath the masquerade is Lena Kuchler, the real me. Lena Kuchler, saved by chance or miracle from the ovens of Buchenwald. But why? Why me? 2 years go by. The war is over. The Germans go. The Russians come. I say goodbye to Madame and the children. To Paul. I make my way on foot through mud and snow to my old village to find my little sister. The house stands where it has always stood. I run up the steps, open the door.
What do you want here? Who are you?
I am Lena Kuchler. This is my house.
Your house? Your house, you say? You're lucky to be alive, Jew. And now you want your house, too. I'll show you whose house it is. Get out!
I am Lena Kuchler. I used to live here. My father had a butcher shop. Don't you remember me?
Nina Kuchler is dead. I saw the Nazis take her away. All the Jews they took. Not one is left.
Listen to me. I had a little sister. She used to buy candy from you. She sucked your thumb.
I remember.
When the Nazis came, I hit her with a couple named Piekarski. Where is she now?
They were no good, those Piekarskis. He was a drunk. He'd sell his own mother for a bottle.
But where is my little sister?
Why do I have to be the one to tell you?
Or where is she?
They turned her into the Gestapo. 3 days before the Russians came, they turned her in.
And then what? You have to tell me. Well,
just before the Russians got here, the Gestapo killed all their prisoners.
All? Are you sure all?
There was nothing left as evidence. No records, no bodies even. I didn't want to tell you. Would you like a little brandy?
No, thank you. But I don't understand it. Why me? Why are they all dead and I'm alive? Why have I been singled out?
Blindly, I take the train to Krakow, where I'd been a student at the university, where I have a cousin, Franja. Franja is kind. She takes me in. She tries to fill the hollowness inside me.
You have to forget the past, Lena. All of us must. We must build a new life for ourselves. The Soviets will show us how. Another thing. Let us not speak Yiddish to one another, even here at home. The new government frowns on that kind of thing. They want us to be all one people.
I eat, I sleep, I work, I study. But I feel nothing. I feel nothing until one day I find myself turning down a street I've been avoiding. I'm standing in front of the Jewish Committee building. The crowd is waiting. The door opens. A man calls out.
New lists have just come in. Survivors of Buchenwald and Mauthausen.
The crowd surges forward and I am left alone in the street. Alone except for one old woman and three little boys.
He said Buchenwald and Mauthausen. I am waiting for the list from Dachau.
These little boys, are they yours?
Mine? No, I have nobody. I'm waiting for the lists, I tell you.
Who do they belong to? They can't be more than 2 or 3 years old.
To nobody, most likely. A wagon from the convent came and dropped them off here a while ago.
A wagon from the convent?
Lots of our children were hidden in convents. Now they are bringing them in.
Somebody ought to take them inside. It's freezing cold out here.
You try it. I tried a while ago. They screeched like I was trying to push them into a furnace.
Well, I think I have some candy in my purse. Maybe I can coax them in with candy. Children, look.
I doubt if they know what candy is.
Look, children. Candy. Come, children. Candy.
Good morning. My name is Nina Kuchler. I found these three children outside at the desk. They told me to bring them in here to the children's room.
Oh, they told you, did they? They. How do they expect me to take care of three more? I can't even feed the ones I've got. Listen to them. They're half starved.
More food! More!
More!
Quiet, all of you, quiet! There is no more food. Do you hear me? There is no more food today. Now, quiet. Quiet! Oh, I know what you think. You think I'm a monster. All right, you try to run this place. No food, no clothes, no mattresses. They sleep on the floor, on the stairs. They soil themselves wherever they're sitting. And all night long, it's like a hell here. They lie awake and cry and scream. It was easier for me in the concentration camp. You try it.
Yes, all right, I will. I will try to help you if you want me to.
No, not me. I'm leaving. But you'll see.
I want to speak to the children. Children, listen to me. Now, I know that you are hungry. I'm going to bring you more food.
I'm going away for a little while, and when I come back, I'll bring you more food.
That's a good one. You'll never come back here.
You did come back?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe you, but you did come.
Bread, cookies, jelly, fat. I'm full for once. Where'd you get all the stuff?
You must be rich.
No, I'm not rich.
You stole it then. I know how to steal, and I can shoot a gun. Ours were the Protestants, and I know how to kill.
How old are you, Victor?
I don't know. 11, I think.
Hunka, would you tell me the names of all the children? I want to get to know them by name.
Why? Are you coming back again?
Yes, I'm coming.
Tomorrow?
Every day.
All right. I will tell you the names. That one, the one I'm pointing to, is Phyllis. He's the littlest.
He can't stand up. His legs didn't grow right.
That one's Esther. She's got three fingers missing. They froze off.
That one with the one eye is Saul. They shot it off. Over in the corner, that's Masha. She can't talk. They hid her in a closet for 3 whole years. Now she can't talk.
Oh, dear God. Dear God, help me.
That's Stephanie.
Help me to help these children.
That's
Let me make them whole
That's
again.
Stuart.
Let me love them.
That's
Let them
Stephanie.
Love me.
That's me.
Let there be a That's reason Stephanie. Why I am alive That's and all the others are dead. Oh, please, God, help me. So I became the mother of 100 children. 100 hungry, frightened, maimed, diseased, unwanted, unloved children. I fight my way through mountains of official red tape to get to the head of the Krakow Jewish Committee.
Don't talk to me about the children, I know. But what can I do? The government doesn't allow any outside relief for Jews. They've shut down Jewish hospitals, Jewish orphanages. We are all Poles, they say. What can I do? This building's a mall. People die like flies here. They die screaming and cursing me. What can I do? What would you do?
What would I do? I would go to the Minister of Supply himself. I would force my way into his office and make such a fuss he would have to listen.
Go then, go. And God bless you.
Miss Kuchler, you must understand. This is the new Poland. The government does not give preference to Jewish
what
children.
What do you mean, preference? Was it preference that threw their parents into crematoriums? Was it preference that maimed them, crippled them, starved them, beat them, drove some of them mad? I am not asking for preference. I'm not even asking for justice. All I ask is a little mercy. You are the children's last hope.
What did the children need specifically?
Everything. I gave you a list.
Our warehouses are empty. We have no fats, no groats, no potatoes, no turnips even. Wait. We do have sugar. I will write you an order for 2,000 kilograms of sugar. You can sell the sugar and get other food. Now are you satisfied?
Now, are you satisfied, Miss Kuchler? Your children have food, clothes, they even have soap. Are you satisfied?
No, I am not satisfied.
In heaven's name, what do you want now?
I want to get my children out of Krakow. I want to get them into the country. I want them to feel the sun on their faces. Most of all, I want them not to feel afraid.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
It's impossible here in Krakow. You know what happened last Sunday? There was a pogrom right outside our doors.
The government says there are no more pogroms.
Call it a riot, then. There were 300 people outside trying to break down our doors. If the police hadn't come, I don't dare think about it. My children are sick with fear.
Where in the country would you take the children?
Near Zakopane, in the mountains, there are rest homes. Since the war, they're unoccupied. The rent might be cheap.
Any rent is too high.
I will find the money. I'll go out begging for it. Please say yes.
Miss Kuchler, I have known you for almost a year now. Saying no to you is like trying to put out a volcano with spit.
At Zakopane in the country, I see my children begin to bloom.
I see solid flesh cover their meager bodies. I see pain and fear erased from their faces. At Zakopane, for the first time, I hear my children laugh. We'd been at Zakopane almost a year. We had garden, goats. We'd started a school. Then letters began to arrive. They were signed NSV, a fascist gang sprung up since the war. Next, we hear that at Novi Targ, the chairman of the Jewish committee and five of his workers had been killed. Then in our own village, a Jewish botanist is murdered in his sleep. At my insistence, the local government sends soldiers to guard us. In fear and trembling, we wait. It is almost a relief when one dark and moonless night, the attack comes.
Children, remember your instructions. Your life depends on it. No matter what happens, not a sound. Into the basement now. All lights out.
I will lead the way.
Victor, into the basement. Go with the others at once.
I'm not going into the basement.
Victor, obey me.
I'm not going to hide. I've got a hand grenade. The guards gave it to me. I'm going to fight.
The night of the attack upon us at Zakopane, I made my decision. It is not enough, I decide, to give children food and clothes and shelter. Even love is not enough. Every child needs a place. A place where he belongs. My plans hinge upon a name, the name of a secret Zionist labor unit. I make a trip to Ludge, climb a steep flight of stairs, make my way down a narrow, unlit corridor to a door. I am Lena Kuchler, director of the children's home in Zakopane.
Call me Sarah.
Sarah, I have to get my children out of Poland.
How many?
100.
Impossible. The borders are guarded. You would never get through.
What do you suggest?
Patience.
No. My children have waited long enough.
Who sent you, Miss Kuchler?
No.
No, don't tell me. We operate in absolute secrecy, you know.
Yes, I know.
Do you know Hebrew? We call ourselves Ba'ad Hatzalah. It simply means rescue committee. We were organized by religious groups in Palestine. We have only one purpose, to save the Jews that remain in Europe, to keep them from joining the 6 million.
I have 100 children. Can you take care of 100? I want none left behind.
I can obtain passports for the children. False, of course. Don't ask me how. I can provide trucks for them until we cross the border. Once on the other side, there'll be buses waiting.
It sounds too easy. Suppose we're stopped at the border. Suppose...
Miss Kuchler, I've saved thousands of Jews. Leave a little to me and to God.
It is summer, 2 years later. 1948. I lead my 100 children down the gangplank of a ship. On the dock, a crowd is waiting.
Father, look! Look what they gave me. What is it?
It's an orange, Hanka.
Oh, Mother, what is this place? What is the name of it?
The place is Haifa. We are home, Hanka. Home.
Ruchim, the Medinat Israel!
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Hugo Green of the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee. Rabbi Green.
The story you have just heard is as moving as it is rare. The tragedy of Europe's Jewry will haunt the conscience of decent men for centuries to come, and is bound to remain the darkest chapter in the history of Jews for all time. Those of us who were caught up in it and miraculously survived wondered at first if there was anything left worth living for. And as if to answer such doubts, at the end of the war in 1945, trickles of young survivors began to flow into the big cities of Europe. Some, like myself, went home first, only to be greeted by ruin and the sense of being surrounded by ghosts. We left very soon, determined never to return, for there was nothing to return to. Others were more realistic and instinctively sought for ways to get as far from Europe as possible. Now, the story you heard is rare for two reasons. There were few, very few groups of 100 children who, in fact, survived. And there were just as few Lena Kuchlers, whose devotion and vision gave literally new lease on life for them. Remains a tribute to the generosity of American Jewry and the determination of the settlers in Palestine that facilities for care, for rehabilitation, for transportation were available and remarkably quickly put to full use. Every child mattered, and there was an outpouring of affection from every part of the unharmed Jewish world, to which response was instant and lasting. Today, the 100 children are happy, adjusted, hard-working young citizens of Israel. But there are still thousands of Jewish children in the two Europes, in North Africa, in Iran, in India, who also are ready to respond and whose needs remain very great. And so the end of the story remains to be told. It can be a happy ending if we continue to care and to be vigilant so that every child, in the words of Lena Kuchler Silverman, may have a place where he belongs.
Thank you, Rabbi Green. Eternal Light drama today, 100 Children, was based on the book of the same name by Lena Kuchler Silverman, adapted from the Hebrew by David Gross. 100 Children was adapted for radio by Virginia Mazur and was one program in this Eternal Light series dedicated to the ideals which govern the relationships between man and man. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Terry Keane as Lena, with Sarah Fussell, Pat DeWar, John Thomas, Ethel Everett, Connie Lemke, Bryna Rayburn, James Dukas, Guy Repp, Beatrice Pons, Arthur Hughes, and Diana Sands. This is Bill McCord. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.